broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, I can't resist another random start here in the 6 o'clock hour of Montana Talks. Just another random start this morning. So I went to go fill up the coffee cup, went to go fill up my little my water bottle here. It's really nice. I don't know about you guys, but I love having like the water jug of water. You know, hey Culligan, man, you remember that back in the day? We've got, I think it's American Water is who we use, and those guys are great. We always have plenty of extra jugs of water on standby, and I like the little hot water spout thing too. That's kind of cool for you tea drinkers. I've never used it to make tea, but you know, you got the cold water spout for your normal drinking water, and then that hot water spout when I've been making my French press with the veteran-owned coffee from the 82 Coffee Company. I've used that hot water spout to just make that French press coffee. So that comes in really handy. But anyway, does this happen at your office? You are lucky enough, blessed enough to have one of these cool, fancy water jugs so you can, you know, do one of the healthiest things you can do, which is drink more water throughout your day. And so you've got one of those, and it's great. But have you ever noticed that some people do not know how to replace the water jug? Anyway, it's just, I just laugh at it. It's just comical because I'm like, okay, we've got two of them. There's one over on the sales floor where our sales folks are at. And I think they had a little game going eventually where it was like a game, like, hey, let's see if we can empty it, but then not replace the water jug, right? And actually, no joke, they were having fun with it because it started to get to be a little joke. Well, now, like 2 days ago, I go use theirs because the hot water spout on theirs works, and out of water. The thing is bone dry empty, and there's like four jugs right there, but nobody else can pick up a water jug and throw it on top of the stinking thing and replace the water. They obviously were there to use the rest of the water, but apparently they couldn't lift the not-so-heavy water jug on top of it. Now I get it. Not everybody can lift the things, right? And I'm actually happy to do it. It's kind of like a little game now. It's like, instead of getting mad about it, I just laugh, and you know what? Hey, let's just get the job done, right? Let's just make this be the one. It's kind of like Admiral McRaven talked about. If all you do that day is make your bed, at least you did something today. So now it's like, well, at least I did something. I replace the water jug. So it's kind of a fun little game. But no joke, like 2 days ago, I replaced the water jug on the sales floor. It was bone dry. Then I go into our little kitchen area, bone dry water jug again. And so I had to joke because I think it was like a week or two ago, I ran into our buddy Michael Foth, and his mom listens to this show out of the Bozeman area. So great family, good guy, great guy. He's down the hall on one of the music stations. But I walk into the kitchen, and there was Michael Foth replacing the water jug, and we got a good laugh. And I was like, holy cow, it's like somebody else actually replaces the water jug around here. I mean, you know, Travis grew up on a ranch in Forsyth, and he's always great about making coffee when he's the first guy in here, and sometimes I'll try to make it, you know, if he didn't get to it first. But I'm like, you mean to tell us that we're the only guys in this entire stinking building, apparently, that know how to replace a water jug? I'm sure other people have done it, but anyway, it's just hysterical. I'm sure the same thing happens in your office.
Here is your Montana news. A former Rebo County deputy sheriff has been sentenced to net 20 years in prison for sexual abuse of three girls. Joshua Harris had pled guilty in July to the charges that he did over an eight-year time frame and began with one of the victims only 8 years old. He even planned to leave his wife for another of the girls. Color 8 reports that Harris's sentence is 100 years with 80 suspended. He will not be eligible for parole for 20 years. After the election on November 7th for Missoula City Council, Ward 6 candidate Sandra Viseca petitioned for a recount. It was done yesterday, the 29th, and the result is a tie. Nick Christensen with KGVO reports both she and challenger Sean Patrick McCoy received 1,476 votes. The seat will now be filled via appointment by the current city council. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Lee.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine around the area today as high temperature readings will stay in the mid-30s for Bozeman over to the Billings area. For tonight, with partly to mostly cloudy skies, upper teens to low 20s, and then still looking at some quiet weather into Friday. With partial sun and some cloudiness, high temperatures from the mid-30s in Bozeman to 40 in the Billings vicinity. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, what were those videos back in the day, these YouTube videos? The guys would do these, like, videos in the office, and they had, like, this, was it a football, NFL football player or something, and they'd catch that guy that would kill the Joe but wouldn't make some mo. You know, you kill the Joe, you make some mo. You know, if you're the guy who takes the last little bit of coffee, you make some more coffee, right? Same thing applies with the water jug deal here. And like I said, most folks are good about that. But we got a good team here. Most folks are good about it. But it is funny. It's like, you kill the Joe, you make some mo. It's just simple concept here. All right, before I spend the whole hour sounding like office dad giving lectures about, well, you know that, you know, people in Africa will walk 5 miles with a water jug on their head to deliver clean water. And all we got to do with our first world problems here in, you know, Montana is grab the jug off the floor and flip it on top of the little water container here. First world problems here this morning. Talking about you kill the Joe, you make some mo. I was looking at the Associated Press news headlines here right in front of me. Wow. Here we go. They are trying once again to kill a natural gas power plant being built in Laurel, Montana. It was interesting looking at the election results, following the municipal elections here earlier this month. And in Laurel, Montana, voters said yes to like an emergency services levy where they would fund their ambulance services. They've got great first responders in Laurel, in particular EMS folks. I think we've talked with them on the radio in the past. So the voters in Laurel said yes to that increased levy to go towards emergency services. Now, some of you might say, wait, why are they saying yes to raising their taxes in a certain category when everybody is so concerned about paying more property taxes right now? Well, you might recall that in Laurel, because of the property taxes that are already being paid by Northwestern Energy to build the natural gas-fired power plant in Laurel, not only will that power plant help keep the lights on and keep the heat on this coming February if it's 40 below for the entire month, but it also will help keep the property taxes for Laurel residents even lower. So when you get a big taxpayer like a Northwestern Energy come in and build a, you know, gas power plant and paying property taxes on that property for the power plant, that's a lot of revenue coming in. So what that means is the city of Laurel, as you remember Evelyn Pyburn pointed out, the city of Laurel was able to say, hey, let's lower taxes over here since we got this money coming in. And so now if you're a taxpayer in Laurel, now it's a little bit easier to say, okay, yeah, let's give a little more to emergency services. Because thanks to that Northwestern Energy money coming in, we can do this. We've got the ability to say yes to a few more things now. Kind of remarkable how that works. But, well, get this. This is in the normally we don't get a lot of news out of the Associated Press anymore. The young environmental activists who won a landmark climate change case. The reason they call it a landmark climate change case is because this is the liberal Associated Press's way of making it sound like, oh, look at how great they are. It's fake news propaganda. No, the reason it's called a landmark case is because no other court entertained this joke of a lawsuit, the Climate Kids lawsuit. But anyway, apparently now the young environmental activists, the Climate Kids who were behind the Climate Kids lawsuit here in Montana, they are now trying to persuade the Montana Supreme Court to stop the natural gas power plant being built in Laurel. According to the AP, the 16 young plaintiffs filed a brief Tuesday saying that the power plant's air quality permit should be declared invalid or at least stayed until the state's appeal of their climate change case is decided. The brief was filed in support of a case filed by two environmental groups challenging the air quality permit. The activists prevailed in August in their years-long lawsuit against the state for not doing enough to protect them from climate change. Well, let me make another interesting point when it comes to this story. Lots of ways we can dissect this story here. The Climate Kids lawsuit. What is the Climate Kids lawsuit? Basically, you've got a bunch of rich white liberal kids, by and large, right? We don't know every one of their circumstances, but by and large, it's safe to say that these are wealthy white liberal kids, white liberal privileged kids, being used as human shields in mommy and daddy's war on American energy. So you got these white liberal parents using their white liberal privileged kids to file suit to shut down your job. Yeah, think about it. This new natural gas power plant being built. If you were a Stillwater miner being laid off, maybe this would be a job opportunity for you to work at this new natural gas power plant that's being built, right? Oh, no, 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 no. These climate kids being used as human shields in their in rich white liberal mommy and daddy's war on American energy, they want to shut down your job in the name of climate change. But here's the deal. Well, one more point on that. You might recall that at least one, maybe two of the kids that are involved in this Climate Kids lawsuit are the children of the Democrat candidate for governor. So here you go. Once again, very clear connection between the Montana Democrat Party and their environmental activists wanting to shut down or block your jobs from ever getting online in the first place, not wanting to keep the lights on, not wanting to keep the heat on this February. But here's the other thing. Why was the United States of America able to lower carbon dioxide emissions, if you care about that sort of thing, like these climate kids supposedly do? Natural gas. Yet here they are trying to block the natural gas project, which natural gas is responsible for lowering CO2 emissions. I thought they want to lower CO2 emissions. So why are they blocking natural gas? Again, it doesn't make sense. They don't care about the environment. They're pawns.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Northline. Well, this week we're reporting from the 68th Montana Grain Growers Convention in Great Falls, Montana. And our coverage is brought to you by Torgerson's Equipment. And if you want to experience power with purpose, talk to Torgerson's Equipment about the Case IH Steiger 715 tractor today. Well, during this year's event, farmer leaders from the nation's top agriculture organizations were in attendance. And one of those individuals is Oregon wheat farmer Brent Sheen, who's president of the National Association of Wheat Growers. And to ensure a future for family farmers, he shared this with me.
Get involved and stay involved. The common misconceptions when you go to either Helena or to Washington, D.C. or Salem in Oregon is that you'll hit a deaf ear. There are many of them that are willing to hear what we have to say. And the more of us that show up, the stronger our message, the more it resonates, and the more traction we get. Bigger level of involvement that we can bring to the Hill, the better the result's going to be.
Sheen said it's essential for the younger generation to get involved as well.
Very passionate about getting the younger generation involved, because as I hit the twilight of my career, I'm fortunate that I have a next generation already taking over for me. And for those that are a next generation getting involved, your future's in your hands. I would ask the next generation to lead by example. People like me need to become institutional knowledge, but the next generation, it's time for them to pick up the torch and be the voice of the industry starting yet today.
Again, that was Brent Sheen, president of the National Association of Wheat Growers and a farmer from the state of Oregon.
Ranchers, it's a total dispersion sale from one of South Dakota's oldest ranches. Saturday, December 9th at St. Ange Livestock. The Grubbing Hoe Ranch of Buffalo will sell 1,200 black and black whiteface, high-quality reputation and home-raised young to broken mouth stock cows. These cattle are true range cows and calve in winter on grass and cake with very little hay over the years, and the calves and yearlings are market toppers. For more information, call Ty Fowler at 605-641-6705 or visit St. Ange Livestock.
Even when the weather works against you, even when the unexpected happens, at Torgerson's Equipment, we know what matters most. Community. Family. Torgerson's Equipment, working every day to make your day more productive.
Case IH Maximum and Puma Series tractors increase productivity on the ranch. Great deals today.
Well, beginning in late December, USDA's National Ag Statistics Service will spend several months gathering information about farm economics and production practices from farmers and ranchers across the region as the agency conducts the third and final phase of the 2023 Agricultural Resource Management Survey. The data will help inform decisions on local and federal policies and programs that affect farms and farm families, the USDA says. In an effort to obtain the most accurate data, NAS will reach out to nearly 40,000 producers nationwide, including 1,000 here in the mountain region between December 2023 and April 2024. The survey asks producers to provide an in-depth information about their operating revenues, production costs, and household characteristics. The 2023 ARMS survey includes a version of the questionnaire focused on farm cost of production and expenditures for oat producers in particular. The survey also includes questions to help measure any impacts that COVID had on farming operations. Again, today's program is brought to you by Torgerson's Equipment. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Ortlund.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Where do we go next? Well, I'll tell you the story I want to get to eventually here this hour of the program. I want to share some more great audio from Jesse Waters' program last night. I always say this, you know, the best part of this show is getting your phone calls, getting your messages on our Montana Talks app, or some of you hit me up on Twitter or, you know, various other platforms. But really, messaging us on the Montana Talks app is the easiest, best way to get a message here to the show or to get a message out on the show, because our producer Travis gets it as well. He'll print it up. We got it here in studio because, you know, sometimes while I'm sitting here yapping with you, I can't be staring at a bunch of different screens. And so that's why I might miss an email, might miss that. But if an app message comes in, boy, we got it right in front of us. It works out well. Then calling in, of course, that's how not only do you get a chance to send us a message, but you get a chance to be heard at the same time, 406-294-0970. But the other reason I love taking your phone calls is, man, it doesn't matter how much show prep we do for a show like this. It doesn't matter. The listeners across Montana are always going to have better information, are always going to have another angle to the story that we haven't read anywhere else, we haven't seen anywhere else. And that happened once again yesterday. It was hysterical, too, by the way. So I was talking about this story, and I meant to get to it earlier in the week, but, you know, we've just had other stuff going on. We had our big Giving Tuesday radiothon going on Tuesday. And it was this young kid, the Kansas City Chiefs fan. This young kid, he painted his face. Half of his face was painted red. Half of his face was painted black. And he had a native headdress on, you know, like a lot of Kansas City Chiefs fans have done over the years. But this is like a 9-year-old kid, according to Jesse Waters. Yeah, this young man is 9 years old. So I was talking about this story, and then I played a little bit of the Jesse Waters audio where he was just mocking the people that were attacking this little kid. But bottom line, for those of you who missed it in the 8 o'clock hour of the show yesterday, the bottom line on this story is that, okay, so this little kid gets dressed up for his favorite Kansas City Chiefs. He gets dressed up for the game. He's in Las Vegas while they're playing the Raiders, and the team loves the kid. The cheerleaders got a photo with the kid. The crowd was loving the kid. But these liberal media folks, like Dan Le Batard, and then this Deadspin outfit, this radical left-wing website, they start attacking this kid, claiming that he was being hateful and racist against Native Americans and black people all at the same time. Well, the photograph they shared of this kid was from the side that only showed the side of his face that was painted black. And they didn't even show the other side of his face that was painted red. And so it was so absurd that they would attack anybody as being a racist for painting their face in this way for a football game, like countless fans do. In fact, Dan Le Batard, Waters showed this last night. He himself painted his face red and black, but yet attacks this little kid for doing the same thing. It's so absurd. But the hilarious thing that I hadn't even seen yet, we had a caller from the Flathead call in, and then Nicole in Columbus said the same thing. The kid's family is Native American. And they're attacking the kid for being anti-Native American. Such a joke.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in Gaza is in its seventh day, extended at the last minute through at least today to secure the freedom of more Hamas hostages and Palestinians in Israeli custody and to get more aid into Gaza.
This process is producing results. It's important, and we hope that it can continue.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken back in Israel meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. At least three Israelis are shot and killed today, others wounded at a bus stop in Jerusalem by two Palestinian attackers, shot and killed by two soldiers and a civilian at the scene. New York House Republican George Santos, facing an expulsion vote tomorrow over ethics and criminal complaints, says again he will not resign. He'd be the sixth ever member of the House to be expelled.
They are trying to join me to the group of three Confederates and two people convicted in a court of law.
And now he's introduced a resolution to expel New York Democrat Jamal Bowman. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, you heard that news update there. We'll get back to this Kansas City Chiefs kid story here in a few minutes. Great follow-up. Jesse Waters actually had the kid on his show last night. Good stuff. We'll get to that here in a second. You heard the news update there. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel. I guess they're there to tie Israel's hands even further. John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, He had a response to this news yesterday. He says, advice for Netanyahu. Netanyahu is the, you know, leader in Israel, of course. He says, advice for Netanyahu. Don't tell Blinken anything. Give him a cup of coffee. Hello. Goodbye. Nada. And then John Jackson says this about Blinken. He is a rat stooge for Iran. Into the phone lines we go. We got Tim in Billings. Tim, good to hear from you.
Real quick, Aaron, I just thought of something. So Green Jump here is Blinken, Winken, then there's Blinken, and Joe Biden is Nod. Winken, Blinken, and Nod, and Joe Biden falls asleep all the time. Anyway, so I don't know if you saw this, but Dan Bongino showed a clip of Thomas Massie talking with, you know, John Kerry about the climate stuff up on the Hill. And he completely destroyed the whole climate crisis hoax.
He did. I heard that. That was brilliant. Yeah, that was Thomas Massie. I heard the audio, but I didn't recall who it was. But no, I heard Bongino play that back and forth. It was. What did he say? What did he question Kerry on that destroyed the climate change argument from your perspective?
Well, he said, the reason you guys up 800,000 years is because the 200 million years prior to 800,000 years, the CO2 levels were significantly higher. So you found this day where it was lower, and you use that as your benchmark and say, oh, my gosh, we're higher than we were at this point. But prior to that point, it was significantly higher. And John Kerry, this is how you know. As soon as he broke this out, you know he's full of crap. He broke out to John Tester, Joe Biden. Well, folks, it was a hoax. I'm just one of you. It was a different world then. And Thomas says, well, how do you see it? He says, well, there was geology happening and things were happening on the earth. And Thomas Massie said, well, did geology suddenly stop? And, you know.
Yeah, there were two things that I found hilarious about that back and forth. Maybe we can find it. Or Tim, if you have a link to the audio that Bongino shared, send that our way. We'll see if we can find it during the break as well. But two things that I found hysterical. One was that basically, you know, John Kerry was pretending to be this climate change scientist, claiming to be this expert. He had a political science degree, but he was claiming that that was a bachelor's of science. And they were like, you know how the whole bachelor's of – that's not a bachelor's of science. Anyway, that was hysterical. Then – you're exactly right. John Kerry was basically asked, why was there more CO2 on the planet when there were no humans supposedly yet on the planet? And good luck explaining that one. A military veteran and a prosecutor announces a run for Chief Justice on the Montana Supreme Court. We broke the news and we have the story. Go to Montana Talks.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks, with Aaron Flint.
All right, Tim in Billings is going to see if he can track down the audio. I think I might have found it here as well. But, you know, it's funny. It's like no matter how much preparation we do and no matter how much stuff we grab, there's just no way to cover it all. That's why we love taking your phone calls because, you know, we want to hear what you want to talk about. We want to hear what's been standing out to you in the news this week. 406-294-0970. Let's go next to our friend Matt in Billings. Matt, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I just heard you guys talk about John Kerry. This is going to cover a lot of topics, but it has to do with John Kerry. I don't know if you folks remember, but back when President Trump was in office, it was alleged that John Kerry was either ghost or shadow of diplomacy. And one of the main things that he was accused of was telling the Ayatollah in Iran that Israel was responsible for striking their proxies in Syria over 100 times. And he was questioned about this during some of these hearings. And he sat down right through his teeth. But, you know, and I believe all these investigations into the Bidens and so forth should go on. But if he's really telling Iran our secrets and things like that, we are in real danger.
Yeah. Well, look at Iran is behind all of this violence in the Middle East. Iran is responsible for undermining the Abraham Peace Agreement Accords. Iran is responsible in funding Hamas, the terror network that's committing these atrocities in the Middle East. And no, you're exactly right. John Kerry has been working with the Iranians for several years now. And did so and got busted for doing so while undermining the president of the United States, while Donald J. Trump was president of the United States. And look, in Tehran, John Tester, while he hasn't done it to the degree that John Kerry has done, he supported the Iran nuclear deal. He has gone soft on Iran. And no wonder the world is in the mess that we are in right now, right?
And I'm not one into conspiracies, but like when you start thinking about all these things, and then they still have insert John Kerry. I saw his ugly horse face in the meetings with China the other day. He's like with all these meetings, but he's given our intelligence out to other countries, and maybe one of the world's worst terrorists, Iran. Not just our enemies, but the world's enemies.
Well, and he's not the only Biden official that has been too close to Iran. You remember, like, the guy who was the envoy, the Biden administration's envoy, the top guy in the Biden administration to Iran, basically got his security clearance pulled because basically they, you know, apparently, you know, federal counterintelligence officials believe that he was basically sharing information with them that he shouldn't have been. And then you had another senior Defense Department official appointed by Biden who was tied to a pro-Iranian network operating in America. I mean, but then you look at their policies that are out there wide open in the open, and you can see how the Biden administration is undermining America right now to the benefit of Iran.
Yeah, exactly. And during these same hearings where they were asking him about CO2 and et cetera, one of the senators asked him about having a private plane and, like, you know, the credibility of his. And he's like, well, I don't have a private plane. I don't. Well, he's like, well, right here, he's just, you know, he's like, well, that's my wife's plane. That's the game these guys play with our lives up there. It's such a bad place, the government, for us at this point.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Matt, great. Hey, you too. Great to hear. Thanks for calling in. By the way, we got to get together. We got to grab lunch or coffee or something one of these days. I've been meaning to reach out to you. So great to hear from you, my friend. Appreciate it. 294-0970, the number for you. I was going to play the Jesse Waters clip with the Kansas City Chiefs kid. I'll get to that. Don't worry. But first, Representative Thomas Massie, did you know climate expert John Kerry has a science degree? A political science degree, that is. I guess, you know, I have a minor in political science. I guess that makes me a scientist too, huh?
Isn't it true you have a science degree from Yale? What's that?
Bachelor of Arts degree.
Is it a political science degree?
Yes, political science.
So how do you get a Bachelor of Arts in a science?
Well, it's liberal arts education and degree. It's a bachelor.
Okay, so it's not really science. So I think it's somewhat appropriate that somebody with a pseudoscience degree is here pushing pseudoscience in front of our committee today. Let's get back to the science of it.
But it's not science. You're not quoting science.
Well, You're the science expert. You got the political science degree. Look, let me ask you this. What's the consensus on parts per million of CO2 in the atmosphere?
About 406, 406 today.
Okay, 406. Are you aware?
350 being the level that scientists have said is dangerous.
Okay, are you aware? 350 is dangerous. Wow. Are you aware that since mammals have walked the planet, the average has been over 1,000 parts per million?
Yeah, but we weren't walking the planet. Let me just share with you that we now know that definitively at no point during at least the past 800,000 years has atmospheric CO2 been as high as it is today.
The reason you chose 800,000 years ago is because for 200 million years before that, it was greater than it is today. And I'm going to say, for the record...
Yeah, but there weren't human beings. I mean, there was a different world, folks. We didn't have 7 billion people.
So how did it get to 2,000 parts per million if we humans weren't here?
Because there were all kinds of geologic events happening on Earth which spewed
up... Did geology stop when we got on the planet?
Mr. Chairman, this is just not a serious conversation.
Your testimony is not serious. I agree.
Wow. Isn't that brilliant? Yeah, I heard Bongino play that right here on these same airwaves. I think it was earlier this week. Representative Thomas Massey, at Rep. Thomas Massey via Twitter, x.com. Fascinating. John Kerry, his response. He says, well, wait a minute. What was it, over 1,000 parts per million CO2 before humans were supposedly on the planet? How did the CO2 get that high? Well, see, we were, John Kerry says, well, we weren't walking the planet then. Now there's over 7 billion people on the planet. Well, wait a minute. If humans are the cause of all of the carbon dioxide that's causing all the problems, if humans are to blame for climate change and carbon dioxide is what's to blame for the climate change, then why was there more carbon dioxide when humans weren't even on the planet? Why was there more CO2 before 7.5 billion people were populating the planet? Yeah, he looked like one of the Muppets up there in the upper deck. That's what John Kerry looked like right there. It was a Muppet show with the guy testifying on Capitol Hill. That was one of the most serious, interesting back and forth in the whole climate change debate that I think we've seen in a long time, maybe ever. And again, we go back to the climate kids and the climate kid lawsuit here in Montana. The climate kids now are trying to block a natural gas power plant in Laurel, Montana. How did the United States lower CO2 emissions, especially under a President Donald J. Trump? By natural gas. More natural gas. That's how we lowered our CO2 emissions. But now the same people that are telling us that we have too much CO2 emissions are trying to block natural gas. Wake up, people. It's a scam. They are pulling a scam. It's a fundraiser for their radical environmentalists. They don't want you living here in Montana. That's why they support the American Prairie Reserve, kicking the ranchers off the land. That's why they support, they're in bed with these radical environmental groups. To block these jobs, to block these projects here in Montana. They are anti-business. They don't want you here. They are anti-agriculture. And this is just another, scam that they're pulling to try to make life harder for people in Montana and to undermine the American economy. Meanwhile, China is building probably another 2 coal-fired power plants this week, and John Kerry isn't saying squat about it. It's a freaking scam. Yeah, this is absolutely hysterical. The little kid and our listeners, they added this to the conversation yesterday. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs fan wearing the Indian headdress and had the black face, red face paint on. They said he's being racist against Native Americans. The Gateway Pundit had this earlier in the week, and our listeners flagged this one for us yesterday. The kid is Native American. His family is Native American. Well, that young man and his dad were on, Jesse Waters' program on Fox News last night. Here's part of what the kid had to say about all the attention that it's been getting.
It's okay because a lot of kids at school are getting excited, but it's starting to get me a little nervous because if they go a little bit overboard, it's a little scary.
Yeah. You heard that, little young man? That's the little kid that's being attacked by the liberal media mob even still. He says, well, yeah, kids at school are getting excited, but he's like, it's also kind of scary because basically what he's saying is there's a bunch of freaks out there. There's a bunch of wackos out there that are probably threatening the little kid's life right now because of this fake attack on him.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And now what's interesting is Hunter Biden has friends worried that some Democrats are betting on, you know, for political expediences reasons, that, well, the Biden family may just have to make Hunter the sacrificial lamb in all of this, that Joe had no knowledge. All those phone calls, all those meetings at Cafe Milano, had no knowledge of any of this, or the fact that we have a paper trail of monies being spent from Hunter Biden. He claimed half his income he had to give to Pops, and then he complained bitterly about paying for Pops' home repairs. And 10% for the big guy, as Tony Bobulinski has said. But Hunter Biden now says that he'll testify publicly. And Comer said, no, I'll let you testify publicly after you do the legally required deposition.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
All right, folks, let's have a serious talk about your personal safety. Do you have a security plan? What if somebody breaks into your house, your business, whatever, and they want to bring harm to you and your family? Now, you know I'm a big Second Amendment proponent. Well, I've also found a non-lethal self-defense weapon that I happen to love. It's called Byrna, B-Y-R-N-A, Byrna.com/Hannity. And for example, Byrna, you can buy their pistols. It's legal in all 50 states. No permits, no background checks needed. By the way, the 12-gauge less lethal shotgun round by Byrna, you put it in your own shotgun, your own 12-gauge. It cannot be shipped, by the way, in this case, to a handful of states. So you got to check with their laws. Linda, how good did I look on the video?
First of all, I loved how you cleared the house. I love the mission for, and the video is up on Hannity.com. It's on Byrna.com/Hannity.
By the way, I think the video up now is me with my own shotgun. Just go to Byrna, Byrna.com/Hannity, H-A-N-N-I-T-Y.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It's been an eventful year for Montana's healthcare industry. 2023 was a year that saw continued mergers and expansions of hospitals. Both Billings Clinic and Benefis Health System grew their geographic footprints into neighboring urban areas. Speaking of Billings Clinic, the largest hospital in the state merged with Logan Health in Hallispell. Policy changes came as well. The moratorium on reviews of Medicaid eligibility enacted during the pandemic was allowed to expire, which will surely bend back down the numbers of Montanans enrolled in that program. And the Inflation Reduction Act's cost controls on selected pharmaceutical drugs will soon be taking effect. But perhaps the biggest event in healthcare has largely avoided headlines, yet has made the biggest impact. And that is the continued labor force shortage across the industry. At best, this has impacted costs. At worst, the loss of skilled workforce has thrown a monkey wrench into healthcare access that won't be easy to solve. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the
6263. Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios. Trusted by the Northwest. Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
One more thing on this whole Thomas Massey, John Kerry, climate change, Hopi climate changey back and forth thing. John Kerry, what was his response? Well, yeah, it was before there were humans on the planet. Okay, but if you're saying that humans are the source of all the climate changey scary stuff, well, then why was the CO2 levels way higher before humans were even on the planet? Well, see, there were geological things going on back then. No geological things going on today. Geology stopped. Don't worry about that whole Yellowstone caldera thing. Don't worry, it'll be over before you knew it even happened. Mount St. Helens, would you call that a geological thing? Mount St. Helens erupted the year that I was born, in 1980. Did you know that, what was it, like 3 weeks ago? Something like that. They just evacuated a town near Mount St. Helens in Washington State. because they're worried that it will erupt again. Apparently, geologic-y things are still happening today. It's amazing. Don't you go blaming little old Mount St. Helens for climate change now. We got to blame, you know, Helen and Lewistown for climate change. All right, let's get to the Jesse Waters segment last night. He had the little kid that was so viciously attacked by the liberal mob media for the red and black face paint and the Indian headdress at the Kansas City Chiefs game. Here you go. He ends up talking with the father and the son.
The mother of the young fan is saying her son is Native American. It turns out Holden Armenta, the 9-year-old getting slandered, has Native American blood. His family lineage? The Chumash tribe. They hail from California, an ancient people with a rich history on the Pacific coast. Holden and his family used to live on the Chumash reservation. So if anyone's entitled to paint their face and wear a headdress to a Chiefs game, it's Holden. Here's Holden at the Super Bowl last year. Holden can wear whatever he wants, and Americans can wear whatever we want. We agree, and Kansas City agrees too. It's why the Chiefs fans are planning to wear black and red face paint to the next game to show support for Holden, who's not only a proud Kansas City Chiefs fan, he's a proud Chumash Indian. Let's bring in Holden Armenta and his father, Bubba. So, Bubba, what was going through your mind the second you found out your son had been targeted like this?
It's been a lot. It's been a pretty crazy couple of days. I was mad, upset for him, mad that he's upset. He's pretty devastated. I mean, he's seen the videos and everything posted. He's excited. He's all over. It was his dream to get on the Jumbotron. And I've had family and friends call and, oh, we saw you on Sunday Night Football. So he's excited. But then everything else came up, and it's been a little bit of a spiral.
Holden, how are you feeling right now?
It's okay because a lot of kids at school are getting excited, but it's starting to get me a little nervous because if they go a little bit overboard, it's a little scary.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? That little 9-year-old kid, man, you could just hear in his voice how young he is. Talks about kind of being, you know, a little scary too, because there's so many crazy people out there in the world that will see this liberal media mob call the kid a racist, call him anti-Native American when he's Native American himself, and so that, you know, that fear, that concern about the fact that can inspire these wackos to go attack an innocent little kid. And yeah, as Jesse Waters exposed last night, you've got like these liberal nut jobs. Which, okay, some stupid website like Deadspin, they make their money off of clickbait crap. And so they're happy that they're getting all this attention. But this Dan Le Batard guy, isn't he supposed to be a sports commentator? I mean, you know, but yet here he is attacking a kid for doing the same thing he did,